an animal. Must be an animal. Come hear the animals. Talking animal. Talking animal.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest today is Colleen Ellis, an expert on pet loss and dealing with the kind of grief that results from losing an animal companion. Ellis has a wealth of training and experience in this field, such that she can provide consulting services and guidance for individuals contending the loss of a beloved pet, while being just as likely to help train veterinarians in this realm, assisting them in being more effective and empathetic with human clients when their animal clients have reached the end of their lives. Indeed, when I asked Dr. Danny McVitie, co-founder of Lap of Love Veterinary Hospice, the nation's largest network dedicated to end-of-life veterinary care, who she thought was the top expert in pet bereavement, her unequivocal answer was Colleen Ellis. The author of Pet Parents, A Journey Through Unconditional Love and Grief, Ellis is an in-demand speaker at veterinarian conventions, more generalized conferences for non-vets working in animal welfare and other fields, and other gatherings where attendees are interested in pets and their well-being. The sad truth is that given the life expectancies involved, as many of us continue to share our lives with cats and dogs, we're going to lose them before we're ready. We'll delve into that kind of loss and ways we can grapple with it when I speak with Colleen Ellis in a few moments here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Later in today's program, I'll speak briefly with Mark James, who runs Bear Creek Custom Timber, a St. Petersburg custom woodworking company who recently created a wonderful way to honor his late dog in the spirit of those little free libraries that people place in front of their homes. You know, leave a book, take a book. James created a similar cabinet for pet food called Hank's Bark Box. We'll talk with him later about this in today's show. Right now, though, let's explore the not particularly upbeat but immensely important topic of losing a pet and the grief that accompanies that loss with Colleen Ellis. With the reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj at wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. This is Colleen Ellis on Talking Animals on WMNF. Good morning, Colleen.
Duncan, good morning.
So happy to have you here on Talking Animals today. Thank you.
What an honor. Thank you.
So this feels like a tricky subject. It's certainly not as upbeat or fun as, say, discussing adopting puppies, but isn't it kind of at least equally important in that at some point those hypothetical puppies will age and may face medical challenges of one kind or another and eventually will reach the end of life phase? So then it comes right back to sort of the conversation we are having here.
Yeah, you know, that is that's the one thing that we're assured of that's going to happen with these precious little creatures that we get as puppies and kitties and little little babes in another species.
Yeah,
but it's a part of life, Duncan. And at the end of the day, death, you know, we live in a death avoidant culture, first of all, and we live in a culture that says if I die, if my pet dies, versus when mm-hmm. my pet dies, when
yeah.
I die, you know, and we plan for everything else in our world, but for the one thing that is going to happen to all of us. And it's this area that it's a given. And it's one that when we embrace it and when we meet it head on and meet it with what it is in our world, it gives us the opportunity then to really make the end perfect as we make our way there.
Yeah, well, that's in many ways, you kind of just explains why I invited you on the show today, because I think a key thing you said is that some of us have developed some kind of a pretty towering denial saying mm-hmm. if this animal dies or if this nice dog snoozing in the front room or whatever dies, then this might happen. Not like if it's going to happen, because sadly it is inevitable. And as I mentioned earlier, we have a certain life expectancy that can, of course, even vary. But dogs and cats have a considerably shorter one. So if you're going to love a dog or a cat, then you're sort of making the deal that you're going to lose them at some point. And
yeah,
that's exactly the kind of thing that I think we could use your help and guidance with, just because that's, no matter how you slice it or who you are, that's it's super tough. So tell me a little bit how you sort of got into a field that is dealing exactly with this sort of topic. It's a fairly singular field, but thankfully it's good to have experts in this field to help guide us.
Yeah, you know, my entire work, I sit here and And I have a little necklace around my neck that I wear every day. And it's got a paw print of my little creature, Miko, who died almost 18 years ago. And I started my career and my profession in the human funeral industry. And as she was approaching her end of life, I started to kind of look my head up a little bit, Duncan, and say, where are those little operations that are going to treat her and treat me like we treat human beings when we lose a loved one? And I didn't really find what I thought it should be. And what I mean by that is this. There were wonderful pet crematories out there. There were wonderful pet cemeteries out there. What I was wanting to find was, where's the place that's going to give me the experiential aspect of being able to honor her, being able to come in for, you know, a visitation, being able to invite friends and family in to say goodbye to her and support me. Funerals are for the living, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted that little funeral home that did for loving pet parents the same thing that we do when we lose a human being. And so I started the first standalone pet funeral home almost 18 years ago. And it was all because of her, and it was the loss of her that, again, kind of was the look up and see that it's not out there. And I knew at that time that there were other people like me that loved these little creatures, and when they died, we wanted to have that support. We wanted to have the same options that we were given when we lost human beings. And we take these little creatures and we, you know, we make them be little people. There are fur kids. There are, you know, our best friends. There are all these things. We've humanized them. And so it felt to me like if we did all the things that we did in loving them in life and spoiling them and giving them all the best in veterinary care, that we shouldn't drop the ball when it came to that one thing, the end.
Yeah.
And I wanted to help pet parents to be able to look their head up and say to me, I have no regrets about what we did at the end. It was perfect. It was so her. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to help with.
And why do you think, Colleen, that apart from being in the human funeral industry or business at the time, which is certainly distinctive, but why do you think, apart from that, that losing Miko hit you in such a profound way that you were thinking in those terms and sort of made the connection of, hey, there's not a similar experience. Yes, the practicality of a crematorium and how to, I guess, take care of the body, the remains, whatever.
Right.
That's one
mm-hmm.
thing. But in terms of the emotional thing, that is sorely lacking. But why do you think so many people probably had a similar feeling and response, even if they weren't in the funeral business. So why do you think you were hit so hard by this that you acted on it in that way?
That's an interesting question. As I was hearing your question getting ready to come at me in my head, what I was flashing back to was when I was in the human funeral industry and in profession. It's a profession, not an industry. A profession.
Okay. All right.
When I was in that profession, it was very rewarding for me to be able to help people at that time. And so it was just a very organic, natural, very short putt that said, well, why wouldn't pet parents want to do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have an entrepreneurial gut. And so I was ready to take that challenge on because I knew it was going to be a challenge because there wasn't another business out there that, you know, was an experiential facility that said, hey, when your pet dies, I'm going to treat them like a human being. When I take them into my care, I'm going to treat their body with respect. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come in with your family and the other animals and do what you need to do. I took that entire process of what I knew that we did for people. And again, it was just seamless for me to plug and play over into the pet side and say, let's do the exact same thing. And again, I just, you know, I had the entrepreneurial spirit
mm-hmm.
that said, I'm going to tackle this. I'm going to go do this because I see what's happening with our pets and the care we're giving them and the love we're giving them. And I was watching that trend go up. I was probably a little bit ahead of the game,
yeah.
Duncan, but
yeah.
As all entrepreneurs know, you want to be a little bit ahead versus a little bit behind.
Sure. Well, it sounds like, too, it was entrepreneurial talent and gifts kind of coupled with your own heartbreak about Miko, coupled with having at least a foot in the human funeral profession, not industry profession.
Uh-huh.
So it sounds like those things all kind of converged in a way where you thought, Okay, well, here's something I can do. I got my own grief that I'm dealing with one way or another, but here's how I can help other people that doesn't seem to be available as I look around the landscape. So entrepreneurial or not, this is definitely going to fill a need, which is entrepreneurial, but there's a much more of an emotional need that isn't really being served near as I can tell, and I think I might be able to serve it.
Yep. That's exactly where I was at. And there may have been other operations out there that, you know, were doing a little bit of that. I just had it in my head, and I'm the kind of person as an entrepreneur, when I unpack what I'm seeing out there and say, how might it get packaged up a little bit differently based on the client of today? And that's the kind of business I came out with. And I inserted myself into that a lot as I went through that, that business planning process and said, what would I have wanted? What would have worked for her? How do I see this through the lens of the profession I just came out of, the human death care profession? How do I see it through that lens to recreate the same exact type of feelings and emotions and services and experiences? How do I put all that back together so it's now for these little creatures that we love so very, very much?
Yeah. Let me let folks know, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. If you just tuned in, my guest is Colleen Ellis, an expert on pet loss and dealing with the kind of grief that results from losing an animal companion. If you'd like to ask Colleen a question about pet loss or that grief or share any experiences that you have in that realm, please call 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. So just because this kind of coincidentally happened, Colleen, let's see if we might help a real situation of pet loss in almost real time. In response to the little weekly email newsletter that I send out each Monday announcing the forthcoming guests and a little bit of information, here's a reply I received to the newsletter about your appearance. It's short, and I'm not obviously going to use the person's name, but it says, what perfect timing, helped my 18-year-old beloved dog onto another pain-free world yesterday. We had 14 wonderful years together. He's in a better spot, but I'm morose. This will be perfect. Looking forward to Wednesday. Thank you. So while lacking the ability to ask her questions, obviously, or have an exchange that you might otherwise, what are some things you would say to our emailing friend who's clearly in the very first few days of this kind of loss?
I'm so honored that she said that and brought that to us, Duncan, so we can unpack that a little bit and discuss it.
Yeah, me too.
The first thing that I would tell her is I've got three kind of hallmarks of what I bring out when I'm talking to a family in her situation. Hallmark number one is, I want you to be kind to yourself. And if those tears come up and they want to come out, I want you to let them out. Be kind to yourself. Number two, permission to honor the journey and the life you shared. Don't push it down. Honor it, love it, talk about it. And when grief shows up and knocks on the door, let her in and say, listen, I want to tell you about the life I had with this precious, precious little animal. I want to tell you about that. And the third one that I have is, wherever you are right now is exactly where you should be. And so if you get up, here's something I want to throw on the table for us, okay? Society has rules as far as what we do when a human being dies. It's acceptable to cry. It's acceptable to be mad. It's acceptable to wish they went to heaven and know they're in heaven. It's acceptable, if that's your belief. It's acceptable to have a service. It's acceptable to have a visitation. It's acceptable to do all these things. But the rules for pet loss are written by non-pet lovers. The rules of, if you're crying too hard, it's just a dog. Mm. You're too emotional. And I told you they would make you crazy. So if you're crying too hard, that's unacceptable. If you want to have a funeral, that's just being, you know, too eccentric. You shouldn't want to do that. So for this young lady that sent us a message, my comments back to her are, you permission for you to do whatever you want to do. If you want to have a service, even after the death, have your service. If you want to invite friends and family over and spend a little time and say, I want everybody to share a precious memory they have of Miko and bring those to the table. And we're going to have refreshments and a final toast, whatever it is, permission to do that.
Yeah.
Permission to keep the people in your world that are healthy support to you, and permission to put the ones in a box and up on a shelf that say to you, you should be over it by now. You shouldn't be crying this hard. You shouldn't do those things. It's not right. Permission to not listen to those people.
Yeah, well, that's, I was going to get into this a bit later, but this is as good a time as any. That sort of brings me to the people. Now, I doubt there'd be a whole lot of those kind of people I'm about to describe that would be listening to this kind of a show. But there are people, clearly, as you've just alluded to, who aren't animal people and or certainly don't understand the kind of grief and profound loss and pain and sadness that goes with losing an animal. So they are kind of like either befuddled. If they're not quite saying get over it, they're that's almost implied kind of in their response. Mm-hmm. And that just seems like that just compounds the struggle that many people feel when they have lost an animal.
The loss of an animal is a disenfranchised grief. It's one of those that it's not a real death. You know, it's disenfranchised. And so if we've got 70% of our population who own a pet, that means 30% don't. And that means 30% probably don't understand fully the human-animal bond and therefore not going to understand fully the grief that we go through when these animals die. And so it's being very mindful of that as we go through our grief journey. And knowing that there are going to be certain people that we can invite into our journey and invite in to be a support to us, and there are going to be certain people that we probably don't want to invite in. And it's no shame for that. It's just who is going to be the person, the people, who can walk with us in a very healthy way because they get it. They empathize with it, and they want to be there. And they're the ones that are not shaming us for the things that we want to do or the feelings that we have. You know, when you look at the loss of an animal, this creature relies on us for everything, to go out and go potty, to eat, to have a full water bowl, all that kind of stuff. They rely on us for so much, and they represent so much in our world, from safety to security to unconditional love to lessons of life. They represent all of that to us. And so when we lose that, it is a huge, huge void that we now have in our homes. The big hole, the presence of the absence of what they used to bring to us, is now gone.
Yeah.
And permission to grieve and mourn for that.
Yeah. No, that sounds really critical for people who are struggling, and sometimes if they have maybe not lost an animal before and they're having their first experience that, yeah, some of these things that you brought up are so important, just so that you cut yourself some slack. As you say, give yourself some permission and don't be unduly affected or swayed by the people who aren't necessarily heartless, but if they're just not animal people, like you say, they don't get the bond, so why would they get the grief that comes with the loss of that animal? So I'm going to come back to our emailing friend with some other follow-up questions, but we have a caller or two that I'd like to maybe get involved in the conversation as well.
Okay.
Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Colleen Ellis.
Hi.
Hi.
We lost our pet, our last pet, that we're going to have about 10 months ago. It's easy to track because it was the day after Christmas.
Jeez, I'm sorry.
So we have what in the Mayo Clinic and Harvard and other sites have talked about is probably complicated grief. There's a longer scientific term that I discovered yesterday. We constantly read about grief in general. But, yeah, you are correct. It's not generally allowed to be applied to animal loss. And, you know, as an animal partner or member of our household or animal child, we've had numerous over the years. And I've always had to go back to work and, mm-hmm. and pretend to be okay. I've had some really callous things that were said to me. But, you know, regarding letting people in and trusting, no, we don't. Because you never know how people are going to react. And it's the number that you quoted is, it includes only people who don't own pets, but there are plenty of people who own pets that don't feel the same way that we do, obviously.
You're right.
It's a huge number. It's probably closer to 50% of the population does not feel that we should be mourning like me. And I will probably be mourning until after Christmas or beyond. So I would like to share the Mayo Clinic and John Hopkins information that we read yesterday about, yes, it is good to, you know, let yourself feel that grief. Don't be ashamed about it. And, and you know, you can have these things. Try and stay functional. Try and keep going, even though, you know, you're profoundly shattered. I read another piece. I'll use that word, shattered. The pieces are broken. The light is broken, and you're trying to put the pieces back together, and they're not going to fit back together again,
right?
The way you might have expected them to. If you're in our vein of people, so there is counseling you can seek. But I we're kind of turned off by therapists, and we've had our own memorial. One of the things that you can do is memorialize your pet. But, you know, and one of the things that I found discouraging was that even with human grief, as they were expressing it in the at Mayo and Hopkins, was that, you know, the normative grief cycle is about 12 months. And, you know, you should seek help. And I think that's profoundly unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect that there isn't, for me personally, there isn't an end in sight.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to get another animal because we are up there in years. And the grief can cause physical effects, can cause heart attacks, stroke, inflammation, and gastro issues, and all kinds of systemic problems for people when they're in a profound state.
Caller, I'm going to make a suggestion or two and then ask Colleen if she would like to. It's just that we have other callers here and other questions for Colleen that I do need to get to. I'm so sorry. But one thing I want to suggest just generally that I think might be helpful, speaking of Colleen, is her website is twoheartspetlosscenter.com. And there are a number of things that are offered there for people that are going through exactly what you're going through, and there's different methods for memorials, as you mentioned, and other things, and Facebook Live classes and all kinds of other things. So I think if you check that out, you may find, since you're obviously doing a lot of research and looking into all kinds of different ways to sort of contend with the grief that you're obviously feeling very deeply, that might be very helpful. If Colleen has another idea or two, that's fine, and then we're going to move on a little bit.
Yeah. You know, Duncan, I want to unpack a couple of things this gentleman has said.
Sure.
The first thing I want to unpack is he is exactly right. Even though 70% of people own a pet, there's a difference between owning and being a pet parent, and that number is 83% of the 70% are pet parents. So they do see it differently. So you do have pet owners and pet parents. So I want to put some context behind that. The second thing I wanted to unpack of what he said was, you know, grief is what we feel. And when I'm working with a family and doing companioning work with them and their loss, grief is what we feel, and in my encouragement, my permission is to mourn. Mourn is the active version of grieving. Mourning is what you do, and so for the families that I work with, we do some really, really active mourning, from journaling to you know, whatever else, that candle lighting and reflecting, whatever else it might be that works with each unique individual and how they handle their grief. We do that mourning work because you have to do the mourning work. And the third thing that I want to unpack of what he said is, I also have this grieving heart, this shattered heart, and have them be very mindful of the year of first, which is exactly where he's at right
mm-hmm.
now. He's
yeah.
got the anniversary date, the day after Christmas. He's in the year of first, so the first time that things are happening, that pet hasn't been there. And that's those things are just that smack in the face that says, here is your new normal, and it's. I'm going to smack you in the face with it again as a reminder that the new normal is still happening. And one more thing, I got to put one more thing out there. We do not get over grief. We get through it, but we don't get over it. It will never, ever end. It becomes a part of us, and so we reconcile it, and we get through it. not over it.
Okay, well, that's great. I think our caller jumped off the line, but I appreciate his call, and I hope some of these things, both on Colleen's website and some of the things she said, I hope are helpful, especially because it sounds like you're squarely in that exact year.
Yeah.